One.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 20s in 20 podcast, where we cover everything you need to know about your 20s in only 20 minutes. I'm Mallory Metz, and this is As Good As It Gets.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of 20s in 20. I'm Mallory Metz, and today I'm so excited for our guest, so excited for our topic. I feel like it's more relevant now than ever, but today in our virtual studio, we have Elena Wood. Elena, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, tell us your name, your age, where you live, all that good stuff.
Well, hi, my name is Elena. I am 24 years old and I live in the mountains of Tennessee in a city called Johnson City. If you've ever heard the song Wagon Wheel, there's one line that says Johnson City, Tennessee, and that is our claim to fame.
Yeah, are you guys experiencing this cold weather right now?
We are, but somehow it's the least amount of ice and snow we've had all season.
That is crazy. Yeah, well, I'm in Dallas, Texas, so I feel like it's insane here for these people. So it's been,
oh my goodness,
it's been interesting, that's for sure. But before we get going, I want to tell the audience a little bit about who you are. So first of all, what do you do for a living?
I am a sustainability scientist, currently working as an environmental planner for a government agency here in Tennessee, where I help a bunch of rural communities, mostly with solid waste and water quality work.
So very environmentally conscious, I would say. Have you always been into sustainability?
I have been into sustainability since I was a kid, and I didn't actually have a word for it until I got into high school. My dad is actually an engineer who specializes in stormwater management. So he's incredibly environmentally conscious and just raised the entire family to be as well.
What are some of your like favorite environmental projects that you've taken up like throughout your life, whether it's something you're working on today, something that really got you started in it? Do you have any favorites?
I think one of my favorites was from when I was in high school. I, of course, was the president of my high school's Green Club, and I wrote a grant for my school to install water bottle refill stations, and they are actually still there to this day.
That's amazing. That's actually like a really big accomplishment.
It was certainly exciting. I don't know how many water bottles have been saved, but I'm sure it's high.
All right, Elena. Well, I really want to talk through some tips that people can implement into their lives to be a little bit more environmentally friendly, sustainable, all of that good stuff. So the first one that immediately came to my mind was if someone's apartment complex or house doesn't offer options for recycling, what do you recommend someone do in that scenario? How could they go about still practicing those recycling standards?
That's a great question, and I actually have a few answers because I have lived in apartment complexes that don't have recycling. One thing that I was able to do when I lived in a bigger city was go take all of my recycling to the nearest recycling drop-off. And because it was so far away, I would just stack up all of my recycling in a corner in my dining room and then wait until I had a carload to go. Now, when I lived somewhere that didn't have recycling at all, I just tried my best to buy things that I could either reuse or compost and tried just not to feel so guilty about it because it wasn't up to me if if I could recycle or not.
Yeah, if you could, you would. But that actually is a really great point and leads me to my next question, which is what are your thoughts on composting? Do you think if you can do it, you should do it? Do you think it's not realistic for everyone to do it? I guess how could someone even start going about composting if they haven't done it previously?
Well, first off, I absolutely love composting, and I believe it's one of the best things you can do to reduce your waste. Now, composting can be difficult if you live in a small space, for example. Like, I still live in an apartment and don't have a backyard. Mm-hmm. What I'm able to do, and I understand most people probably can't, is use a composting company. Some areas do have those. They come and pick up a bucket off of my porch every week. But people can also do things like vermicomposting, which is where you use worms. And you can do that on a small balcony or even in your backyard. If you do have a backyard, there are a lot of great resources online to start a compost pile. And another option is if you live in a more rural area, you can ask your local farmers market or farmers co-op if there are farmers that want your compost.
That's a very good tip. Do you recommend, are there like Facebook pages or anything out there for people to get connected to like find these cool resources, or is it pretty much like varies city to city?
I'm sure it's varied like city to city. In my area, we have like a, oh, I've just moved to this area Facebook page, and people can ask questions, and then usually there's answers.
And then to get a little bit broader here is, what, according to you, do you feel like is the biggest environmental threat today?
Oh, that is a tough question. Obviously, climate change as a whole is our biggest environmental threat. But if I had to pinpoint an exact issue, I personally believe it's fossil fuels. And when I mean fossil fuels, I mean the extraction of it, the burning of it, the manufacturing of products with it, and then the disposal of those products.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that can be overcome with sustainable practices, or do you feel like you don't see a world where our society like gets rid of those?
There's a part of me that's very optimistic that believes that we can ban fossil fuels and then transition to more sustainable alternatives. But there's still a pessimistic side of me that thinks we'll never fully be able to transition away. But then there's also a side of me that knows that we will eventually run out of fossil fuels, so we will have to move on at some point.
Yeah, that's a crazy thought as well. What do you think consumers, like people out there grocery shopping in the day-to-day, what can they do to help the environment, whether it's small or big?
So anytime someone asks me this question, I give them three things. Use your voice, your vote, and your wallet. And what I mean by that is that consumers can speak up on social media or at a protest about these issues. Then they can vote for politicians who want to fix these issues. And then finally, they can try their best to purchase sustainable products.
Yeah. And then what are some of those like sustainable products or practices you think people should implement into their lives? I hear you should buy your groceries using reusable glassware or things that you've already had in your house. Obviously, like how effective do you think are reusable grocery bags and things like that? And what are some things you think consumers could do to help make an impact?
Oh, so anytime you can reuse a product, I think that's incredibly sustainable. And that's something that you don't necessarily have to go out and buy something new for. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with things like reusable bags, they're amazing. You don't have to continually, like I have due to the pandemic, a giant pile of plastic bags in the corner.
Yeah.
Anything that cuts down on just the amount of waste you use or just the amount of time you'd have to go spend running around to stores to buy is incredible and sustainable. And no matter what you do, big or small, it has an impact.
I agree. And then do you feel like the government, I mean, all things aside, all presidents aside, is doing enough to give importance to deal with these issues? Or do you feel like we need to take it one step further, implement things, starting from the bottom, working our way up? Obviously, it's always a spectrum, and it always depends on where you live and like who is running mm-hmm. your personal sustainability practices, I guess is what I want to say. But would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, is the government doing enough? And if they could be doing more, what should they be implementing?
Oh, they are absolutely not doing enough. Things are hopefully changing under our current presidential administration. We've seen what they've done in about the first month, but that is certainly not enough. It's only just the beginning. And we don't just need governments taking action and giving importance to these issues at the federal level. We need it at the local level and at the state level as well. And we're going to need policy and regulation and funding really for every aspect of our lives. Like, for example, we need to, as we're seeing in Texas, modernize our electric grid mm-hmm. and make it more capable to withstand these severe weather events that are, by the way, becoming more and more prevalent due to climate change.
That is a great segue into a great topic as well, which is, you know, what are some of the misconceptions around climate change? A lot of people think, well, it's cold in Texas, so climate change isn't real, which, newsflash, that's the opposite. That's not the point. But would love to hear some of your thoughts around misconceptions about global warming and, you know, what is actually true and what is causing some of this.
So like you said, people often confuse weather and climate. So they say, oh, well, it's snowing, climate change can't exist. Well, climate is weather patterns over a period of time. So while you can't necessarily claim, okay, it snowed today, climate change isn't real, we are seeing more and more severe weather events, both hurricanes and heat waves to snowstorms and ice due to climate change. Another big misconception that I see all the time is that climate action will bankrupt us, whereas that's not true at all. There are numerous economic studies that have been done both at the national and global level that prove that transitioning to a green economy not only would create more jobs, but would create more high-paying, safe jobs.
Yeah, and when you say, like, taking climate action, you mean, like, getting rid of mining oil in Texas and cars and all of that and moving more towards sustainable practices, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just to clarify. Totally think that climate change is real. It's happening. And like you said, Texas right now, we're recording this on February 16th, is point in case of our city's not prepared for these changes. And if this is going to continue, which it will, hopefully we could slow it down, but we need to take better precautions as a society to deal with that. And then really, do you feel like companies are doing enough to help sustainability issues?
Overall, they aren't. There are certainly companies that are doing a good job, and those are certified B Corps. So these companies have to go through a rigorous certification process to be essentially considered socially and environmentally sustainable. But on the other hand, the vast majority of companies, they may act like they're being sustainable and doing the right thing, but in reality, they're just greenwashing consumers into thinking they are.
Yeah, do you have any companies out there that you're like, if these three companies could change their sustainability practices, it would make a huge impact? Or do you just feel like, in general, put your money where your mouth is, and if you say you're going to become sustainable, actually implement it and not just, like you said, greenwash?
I mean, we certainly need every single company to put their money where their mouth is. But if I had to choose a couple of companies, I would say like Chevron, BP, ExxonMobil. They have all these grand green energy plans, but in reality, they're not actually doing them, or they're such a small portion of their total operations that it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. And when you think about like the car industry and like you said, fossil fuels and everything, what are your thoughts on some of these electric cars like Tesla's taking over? I feel like now we've seen even major car brands move in that direction. Do you feel like that's strategic, or do you feel like, you know, the argument is always like, well, those are going to take just as much energy to break down and never go away as well? Would love to get your thoughts on that.
There is a dilemma with our current electric cars, and that the battery technology we have, which is typically lithium ion batteries, aren't that great for the environment. Lithium mining also has some human rights issues. But overall, electric vehicles use less resources and less energy than their fossil fuel counterparts. And honestly, we've got to make a change, and we got to start somewhere. So might as well start with Tesla or GM or Toyota, whoever else is transitioning to electric vehicles. And hopefully in the future, we will have more sustainable alternative fueled vehicles, like maybe hydrogen or maybe a solar powered car.
Mm-hmm. Start taking the baby steps now in the right direction. But then hopefully as life progresses, we can make a more impactful choices moving forward.
Yes.
And then if there were three easy steps you would ask people to implement into their life right now to help either reduce waste or reduce and conserve energy and resources, what would you have those three things be and why?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think my top three would be, well, one, overall, just take a look at your life. Look introspectively. What do you do all the time? What do you eat? Do you drive places? Just basically figure out where your pain points are for sustainability. Like, do you drive your car when you could walk, for example? Or do you eat meat and cheese for every meal? And then from there, figure out what you need to do. But I think the top three simple ways you can help is reduce the amount of animal products you eat. You don't have to go plant-based. You don't have to go crazy about it. Just pick a meal a week or more and try to eat like a vegetarian meal. Then take steps in your life to reduce your waste, whether that be recycle or reduce or simply refuse your waste. That would be great. And then number three is just to try not to use your car as much. If you have the option to use public transportation, that's great. If not, just try to drive fuel efficiently, as my dad would say.
Before we move on to my next segment, I also want to ask you, do you feel like COVID has had an environmental impact on sustainability, I guess, and like usage? And do you feel like it's for the worse or for the better?
So there is some good and some bad with COVID. And whenever we talk about the good in terms of sustainability, we have to put it in the aspect of, well, okay, people are dying.
Right.
So it's not necessarily good that we have seen some reduction in emissions, because we have seen in certain areas reduced emissions, particularly when it comes to transportation and manufacturing, because a lot of factories aren't running like they normally would. But on the flip side, we're also seeing more waste be produced. I know I'm guilty of it, and probably the vast majority of Americans are, but I still have to order things online. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to go into a store unless I absolutely have to. And I still can't use reusable bags here, so I've got my pile of plastic bags in the corner. Overall, it's helping people realize how important sustainability can be in their lives, but none of the positive impacts we've seen are going to be long-term. Like, as soon as COVID's over, things are sadly going to go back to normal.
Totally agree. I remember in March of 2020, when like the world shut down last year, they were talking about how crazy it was to see the blue skies in Los Angeles because people were no longer in car-to-car traffic. So it is crazy to see that even like a short stop, that was probably like 2 weeks in of just commuting, made such a huge impact. But then, like you said, it's going to be a quick return the minute we get back to life again. But hopefully people seeing that and seeing, you know, wildlife come out, maybe it has an impact on what they do in their day to day. So that's all we can ask, I guess. And then really, I end every podcast episode talking about pet peeves relative to the subject we've been talking about. So today, I would love to hear some pet peeves you have around sustainability or environmental practices, whatever it may be. If you have any pet peeves, would love to hear them.
I have three great pet peeves. I mean, I have way more than three, but here are my top three.
Let's hear them.
First is that BIPOC voices are more often than not ignored in the sustainability movement, despite the fact that these very same communities have been living sustainably this entire time. And my second pet peeve is that there's this idea that you need to be perfect when it comes to sustainability, as in perfectly zero waste or plant-based or slow fashion. But you don't need to be all of that to make a difference. You just need to start somewhere. And then my last pet peeve is that social and economic aspects of sustainability are often ignored. Like, for example, banning single-use plastic straws outright actually hurts people with disabilities and injuries that rely on them, and many sustainable products are just too expensive for people on a budget.
I think that's a great point. I think regardless of what the initiative is, there's always a pro and a con. It's like when we talk about COVID, there's always a pro, there's always a huge con. So I think that goes the same. There's always devil's advocate in every scenario, but I definitely feel like one of my biggest pet peeves is just the stigma that comes with sustainability. And, you know, at times people like stick their nose up to you about it. And it's like, no matter how you feel, you can't deny that like reducing waste will make an impact for the better, or conserving energy, or whatever that may be. Whether you think climate change is real or not, or whatever your beliefs are, I just feel like I hate that, you know, people get upset about recycling or whatever it may be.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, go to our Instagram, follow us, give us a like, give us a shout out, tell your mom, tell your grandma. and leave us a comment. Thanks for joining us.